What's going on? Zaina here on a quick little check-in episode of What You Know on this Friday, September 11, 2020. As always, very low tech, low quality, not edited, just straight to the point. And today I have switched it up and gone back to what I know and what I'm comfortable with. Of course, that's backwards, but Maker's Mark bourbon, and true to form, I work nonprofit, so out of the styrofoam glass. So before we get started, touching on just briefly, this will be a real short episode on a couple of things. I'm gonna take a sip of this bourbon because I'm going to need it. All right. So, I'm new to Twitter, I'm new to social media, I'm new to all of these different things. I have spent my adult life working with at-risk youth, and that's not like me saying I'm better than anybody, I've been kind of oblivious to social media in general, aside from a couple of, you know, things like in the professional network, and I think for a minute when like MySpace came out, it was just never really captured me. It wasn't even at the time because I thought it brought out the worst in people, even though now I guess the jury's still out on that. It's not like it's fair for me to comment, so new to the game, but it hasn't been totally inspirational. On the other hand, I will say that as someone who's a libertarian slash conservative, I have been pleased that those who are more far left-leaning, I've been surprised by the number of people who have been willing to have an exchange with me. Twitter is a hard place to do that. It's actually an impossible place, maybe not an appropriate place, and I say this even towards myself because I've been doing it too, to bring up topics such as the topics that are dominating our culture right now. Talking about the issues of racism in society, of police brutality and reform, of just a whole slew of really highly charged things. So I'm someone who researches things. I get interested in a topic and I don't, someone wants to back you into a corner. I'm also very direct, and so I understand that, you know, in some situations, the question is just yes or no. It's just yes or no. But in a lot of these other areas, it's a thousand shades of complicated. And it's not just yes or no. And it certainly isn't going to fit into the character count allowed on Twitter. And so what that leaves is all of us perhaps being nasty to each other, some more than others, and I'm not saying I haven't been guilty of that. I'm trying to dial that back, so I'm not trying to play innocent like I've never said nasty things, or that I won't again. I'm trying to be better than that. I won't bend on a lot of my positions. It's just not going to happen. I'm not for socialism or communism, and I'm not a Marxist. However, that does not mean that I can't learn from certain people who possess views that are just wildly different than mine. The question is whether they're willing to also hear from me. Some people have been, wouldn't say awful so far, but no, it's not fair to categorize them as awful. It's just not willing. I mean, awful can be really awful. Doing the work that I do, I've seen awful, and I know how awful people can be, and people haven't been awful just yet. And I hope it doesn't go there, but I suspect that it will. And on conversely, even more interestingly, I also suspect that some people that have followed me on Twitter so far, I don't have a huge following, very teeny tiny following, like over 125 people, 126 people. I suspect, although I hope it's not the case, I suspect that some people that are on the right may drop me when they see me considering facts about incidents of police brutality like the one I'm about to discuss, and wanting to hear information about that, not just automatically assuming that the police officer is innocent. I am a staunch, unabashed supporter of law enforcement in general. However, I think there's reform. I think that we should always be striving to get better. in whatever we're doing, in whatever profession we're in. Why would that not apply here? And so if people choose to drop me or not follow me or not engage with me any longer simply because they perceive me to be like collaborating, I mean, like with somebody that's left leaning, that doesn't speak well for the conservative side. I know that not, you know, whether you're left or right, it's not one big monolithic group. People have a right to their variances and differences. But I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that doesn't happen, although I suspect that to a small degree it might. I hope that I'm wrong. So today, first of all, before I get into this whole Officer Paul Abel thing, I'm not going to touch on some of the things trending on Twitter regarding the 9/11 stuff. I do want to say that to a couple of my friends who will remain anonymous that are listening to this, who lost people at 9/11, I remember that day vividly. I was in the Northeast. I'm a Yankee. I grew up out in the tri-state. These individuals that attended the school that I attended were actually from New York City and lost family members. One of them lost parents. Like I said, I'm not going to comment on all the other divisive stuff out there about it. I only want to say to those friends of mine that on this 19th anniversary, I know that you guys, at least one of you and the one who lost your parents, have made it clear that that's a wound that is still bleeding, and you're in my thoughts. There's really nothing I can say or do. So anyway, Officer Paul Abel. So I'm going to keep this short and say that I'm going to do what I said I was going to do, and I'm going to research this incident. A lot of people going back and forth on Twitter. I'm not going to read the Twitter threads. Some people on the left were far more reasonable, some not so much, but they certainly weren't awful. But I also sort of threw out a commitment to research this, and I realized that as I'm driving home from my job, I realized that that could end up being every time this happens. I'll do it for myself when I feel necessary, but doing it every time to try to appease somebody on the left, I shouldn't say on the left, somebody that's in an extreme position, isn't going to work, because they're just, no matter what I say or what I put forth, they're going to find something else, because they're not after actually coming to a middle road and finding common ground. It's about hate, it's about vitriol, it's about sticking it to somebody, it's about, so I will engage with those people who will be like, well, you know, I still don't agree with you, but this is interesting, just as I've tried to do when people have brought stuff to me. There have been some people who have turned me on to some facts that actually helped lead me to look up some of the things that I looked up. And so over the weekend, I'm going to look into the following things. I did call the Pittsburgh Police Department for a public request, and they directed me to, like, for information, they directed me to the website for which I needed docket numbers, and that's where it got kind of complicated. But let's see here. There's a website called Docket Bird. Thornton versus Abel et al. So, and others. Memorandum, opinion, and order. So this is, let's click on this real quick and see if it'll take me there. This is a long document. It's 17 pages, but it's the court docket. So I'm going to take that docket number, which is, where is it on here? Case 209-CV-00246-TFM. This is in the United States District Court for the Western District of Pennsylvania. Desmond Thornton, plaintiff, versus Paul Abel individually and in his official capacity as a police officer for the City of Pittsburgh and the City of Pittsburgh in capital. Defendants, and then it runs through, it started, this is on, document is dated July 14, 2011. So I'm going to go through and read that over the weekend. I am also going to go through and read This is the annual report in 2011 from the police department. Now, if you go down, if you look at the table of contents, it tells you where to find Pittsburgh police disciplinary actions on 36, and so that's what I did. I went to page 36. Ultimately, this is a 118-page document. Ultimately, I found details on page 40, which I took a screenshot of. I'll do it again just in case. It was on my work phone where I originally did it. And going all the way down, where did I see it? I'm on the right one, right? City of Pittsburgh. Okay. Ken Miller versus City of Pittsburgh and Paul G. Abel. And that case number is 09-01180. Year of claim, 2009. Civil rights violation, excessive force, and the settlement amount of $40,000. So I'm interested to know, why did they settle? Why did they feel the need to settle? People, organizations settle for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes it looks bad on its face, and other times it's actually because it's bad. I don't know. But I'll be looking more into that this weekend. That's on page 40. If anybody's interested, you can go to apps.pittsburghpa.gov/redtail/images/1090-211-2011-annual-report-pdf, page 40. I'll include that in the description if anybody's interested. Again, actual research takes a lot of reading. But then, as I kind of start to wrap it up here, as a libertarian, I'm conservative/libertarian. In a perfect world, if I had my druthers, I would lean way more towards libertarianism. And so, Lou Rockwell. Sip a bourbon here. LouRockwell.com. Lou Rockwell actually wrote an art, and I like Lou. I don't agree with everything he says, but he is a libertarian to the core, believe me. And he, under his headline there, slug line, LouRockwell.com says anti-state, anti-war, and pro-market. So he's obviously not for socialism or communism, but he's also anti the state apparatus. He's anti American adventurism in the military, and he probably is an individual who wants as little policing as possible and only the constitutionally elected sheriff's department, not so much police departments. And that's a whole conversation, how I feel about that, for another time. But here we go. Let's just go through this real quick. Pittsburgh judge: police are above the law. Officer Paul Abel, a veteran of counterinsurgency warfare in the regime's illegal occupation of Iraq, was deeply drunk last June 28 when somebody punched him at a stoplight. Abel, an 8-year veteran of the police force, quote, drove around the block until he spotted the 21-year-old Caleb Miller, whom he knew from the neighborhood, unquote, recounts the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Quote, witnesses said the officer hit Mr. Miller on the neck with the butt of his Glock and the gun went off, grazing Mr. Miller's hand, unquote. Keep in mind, these are sources that we don't know. I mean, the newspaper sourced them. Newspapers and good journalists have the right to not name their sources. In fact, the best ones don't name their sources. But conversely, of course, that can play in the other direction too, because really crappy, unethical journalists can also do the same. And that's where it gets a little bit tricky, and we need to have faith in our institutions. And right now, because of the way our institutions as far as journalism are behaving themselves on both sides of the political spectrum, leads us not to trust them. Goes on to say Miller strenuously denied that he was the one who struck Abel, and two witnesses to the event confirmed that the victim, quote, looked nothing like, quote, the guy who punched the drunken off-duty cop. Abel, 35, was put on an unpaid suspension, and was brought up on charges of aggravated assault, reckless endangerment, and DUI. He waived a jury trial, which is generally a good idea, for the defendant in cases of criminal conduct by police. Again, doesn't make him look good, but I would have to look more into that. Court of Common Pleas Judge Jeffrey A. Manning, And this is where somebody turned me on to the Judge Jeffrey Manning, I think Xavier, on Twitter. And therefore, I was able to search that and find something. And this is what I started to find. And he's also on the docket, too, which I'll research this weekend. Judge Jeffrey A. Manning insisted that the case turned on a single question, which is this. Was Abel arresting a suspect or acting in retaliation? The preponderance of evidence clearly demonstrates the latter, beginning with the fact that no evidence was presented other than Abel's alcohol-distorted recollection that Miller was the one who threw the first punch. Abel maintained that the violence he employed was, quote, necessary, unquote, because Miller wouldn't obey commands to lie on the ground. Bear in mind, first of all, that Miller has done nothing wrong, and secondly, that as far as he can tell, could tell, Abel was simply a deranged, drunken individual wielding a weapon rather than a deranged, drunken, armed individual clothed in supposedly the majesty of the state authority. Now, keep in mind, these people are writing as libertarians, and I often think this way when I'm in wearing my libertarian hat, too, because I, even though I am, it's easier for people to understand conservatism as a libertarian. I want really the government to be as small as humanly possible and as unintrusive into our lives as humanly possible. Basically, I want them to go the F away. I just want them to go away and respect our rights as human beings, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, sexual orientation, sexual identification, all of it. Doesn't matter. I want them to go away. So he's writing from that point of view. So when he uses really like in puffed up, poofed up language, like, you know, in clothed in the supposed majesty of state authority, that's, you know, that's where that's coming from. Predictably, Judge Manning ruled in favor of Abel, insisting that while the off-duty officer's conduct was, quote, inappropriate, imprudent, and ill-advised, unquote, it was still justifiable since police enjoy broad discretion in the use of force. There's many that would contest that. Keep in mind, this is skewed from the point of view of a libertarian. And so I think it's important to put that there. But there's a lot of good points still to be made from here. Where did I leave off? Sorry. Apparently, the discretion extends to driving under the influence of alcohol, which someone alleged on Twitter, in addition to pistol whipping and shooting a completely innocent bystander. Quote, it's not the obligation of this court to police the police department, pronounced Manning. No, Judge Manning, it's your job to render justice. Regardless of who's in your courtroom, sir. Regardless. So that's a disgusting statement on that judge's part. And irrespective of what he's ruling on, whether it's police here or I don't care. For him to say that goes to show you where his ethics are. So I don't, again, people are like, you know, want to conflate it with all cops, every police station, burn every precinct. No, there's individuals here, and these are individuals we need to look at. Police union official Dan O'Hara insists that Abel is simply an aggressive officer and insists that his critics are out to crucify him. Those critics include three Pittsburgh residents who have filed official complaints against him for abusive conduct and other incidents. One involved an off-duty fight in which Abel was reportedly the aggressor, but the other antagonist was put on trial and acquitted of all charges but disorderly conduct. Another reports that Abel assaulted a local resident whose grandfather was threatened with a taser, and another alleges that Abel pressured his wife into making false claims of sexual abuse against the grandparents of her children. Nonetheless, Judge Manning's ruling has cleared the way for this hero of both the home front and the Mesopotamian campaign to return to the police force. I probably butchered that word, and I look like an idiot, but a lot of people watching this already that don't agree with me probably already think I'm an idiot, so who really cares? Nonetheless, Judge Manning's ruling has cleared... I really didn't help myself there, did I? See, and I don't edit any of this, I just let you see the full specter. In closing, apparently, even the most corrupt and sociopathic police have an unqualified right to employ violent or lethal force and an unqualified duty to submit. Us citizens have an unqualified duty to submit. He calls us submitizens. That's very clever. Very clever indeed. That was on June 25, 2009, written at 3:04 p.m. And the author's name, the website is lewrockwell.com. The author's name is Norman Grigg. I read that article because I want to touch on something here that is really important as we have this debate. The idea that an ex-military person would be on the police force, in my opinion, is not a good one. And for anybody hearing that, that's on the right, that follows me, and you're like, and maybe you're listening to this or watching this and you get yourself in a tizzy, I'm sorry about that. Everything that I've ever said about how I feel about Antifa, about the Marxist nature of the official organization Black Lives Matter, by the way, most of my black friends feel the same way. I stand by all those statements, but I also have to hear where they're coming from and concede on a point here. Okay, if you're in the military, as any combat veteran will tell you, and a lot of combat veterans that follow me may just think I'm the biggest piece of crap for this, but my little brother, who's my best friend in the world, who is my heart, is a combat veteran, and he agrees with me unabashedly and unequivocally, and he served his time, believe me. So if he can speak on it, hold your peace. And Jason contends that no ex-military person should be in the role of a police officer, and here's why. When you're a soldier, your job is to exact greater force than that of your enemy. Your job and what you're trained for is not to de-escalate, to put it in its most primal way, even though this is not what he said, but I'm breaking it down to its lowest common denominator. Essentially, soldiers' job, especially when at war, well, really when at war, not every other time, is to destroy things, break things, kill people, and conquer. That is not the role of a peace officer. Not. The role of a peace officer is to keep the peace in a civil, free, and open society. Posse Comitatus, the law a Republican Congress passed, I believe. Actually, I'm almost positive about that, by the way. After or during the era of Reconstruction, because of the fact that troops were used against American citizens in the South, even though, frankly, they were used when the Southern states were driving people like Tunis Campbell, who's an incredible hero of mine, a black man that served in the Georgia legislature, who tried, who started this whole independent commune, on the lands, I think, extending from South Carolina down through Georgia, maybe to the tip of Florida, off of Sherman's Field Order 15. Great documentary about it you can look into, and a lot of information out there on the web. But basically, after they were given these rights, there was a lot of violence against black people. A lot of black people like Tunis Campbell, who was a real leader, stood tall and stood in the face of it. And a lot of violence came their way. And so I believe it was President Grant who said, you know what? I can't abide by this. And he sent in the troops. I believe he sent them into South Carolina and New Orleans. I would have to double check on those facts, but he sent in the troops, and he may not have been the only Republican president to do that, but he's one for sure. He only could go so far, but he went. And so Posse Comitatus came out of other things, but one of the compelling factors was that never again would there be troops used to military troops used to police American citizens because of the difference between a sheriff, say, at the time, or a police officer who's supposed to be trained to walk a beat, know the people, and problem solve, versus a soldier whose job is quite different. So Posse Comitatus exists. And so the question is, should there not, I'm sure there's lots, I'm positive of it, just because more than one thing can be true at once. And we tend to, we make this day and age just sweeping generalizations that are just frightening and really dangerous. I'm sure there are ex-military men and vets who are fantastic police officers, who are measured, who are calm, who are all the things that you need them to be. But how do you know? And maybe there should be a vetting process that's better than the one that we have for that. I don't know. But it does beg the question to ask. I mean, it sounds like this guy was a vet. I'm going to read through some of this stuff because I'm interested. I want to know. You know, and I'll put out my response in the form of podcast and video. And you know what? People may like it. They may not. I'm not trying to appease anybody. I'm trying to seek truth, balance, and information. And some people aren't going to receive that either way. And the other thing was then, and I took a screenshot of this, I really should have been more focused on my job at work than I was today. I spent, and this is why I usually didn't do social media, I spent much too much time worried about some of this stuff. And I thought that I took a picture of it, but I guess that I didn't. Somebody posted on Twitter a lineup of, I think, 6 or 8 cops or law enforcement officials, and I really wish that I could find it, who they said, you know, covered up for bad cops. And basically the whole premise was like, oh, really? Good cops stop bad cops from doing bad things? Well, what about these 6 or 8 people? Okay, in a country of 330 million people, your point, please? Your point seems to be the point that I've also made so redundantly. It's like there's a big bloody dead horse right over here that I've just been beating. Is that there's bad people out there in every profession. And the police force is no exception. Does that need to be addressed? Hell yeah. Does it need to be addressed in the terroristic, horrifying manner in which people are addressing it? I don't agree. That does nothing for unity. It does nothing to reconcile. It does nothing. And I'm tired of the excuses for it, because people who are, who are black are having their businesses. I'll never forget the video of after you know, the riots in Minneapolis, a black woman sweeping up glass outside of her business, and she was angry and she was yelling. She's like, "Come down here and tell me Black Lives Matter. Come down here and tell me Black Lives Matter. I built this business and you came in here and you just wanted to steal stuff." Is that everybody who's protesting? Of course not. But it's growing more and more. And to those who are affected by it, how can you expect them to see anything else? Just like I can respect the fact that if you're affected by an incident with the police that is awful and brutal, I don't expect you for at least a time to see anything else beyond that. That's a human reaction. It takes an extraordinary person to be able to, like, see past that, to stand taller and see further. And some people have that and some people don't. I'm not sure that I have that. My co-host, who will join us at some point very soon, that I just got off the phone with, Harris, does see that. Does see that as someone who identifies as queer in America and is a libertarian / conservative on most fronts. Harris is much better about that. I try, and I'm trying. But I was going to look into that and those individuals as well, if I can find the picture that I took. Because I lost it. Okay, here we go. Okay, good cops. Good cops don't last. So basically this person was saying, you know, well, what about these people? You know, so that they were retaliated against. So Kurt Stansberry, fired for exposing corruption. Ray Lewis, arrested for protesting corruption. Shayna Lopez, fired for reporting a cop who was a sexual predator. Carol, I'm so sorry if I'm butchering that. Anybody who's even watched or listened to me at all knows I'm terrible with names. Horn, fired for stopping an incident of police abuse. Andrea Heath, driven to suicide for being a whistleblower. Joe Crystal, fired for turning in a fellow cops for brutality. Regina Tosca, fired for stopping an incident of police abuse. And lastly, Laura Shook, I believe is how you pronounce that, fired for exposing corruption. Well, I will look into that. I'll look into that. But just posting this picture is what we consider as evidence these days. And here's the deal. It's not. And someone posted this and was like, I wonder what he'll say about that, referring to me. Well, what I'll say about it is that I don't know any better than you do. Looking at it on its face, if that's true, awful and needs to be addressed. Again, doesn't mean that you tear down the police department and leave everyone vulnerable. I, for one, here's my radical view. I, for one, believe that every law-abiding citizen, and even some who maybe have had run-ins with the law but not violent ones, should be armed responsibly and trained to use those weapons, and maybe we could rely less on law enforcement in the future and more on elected sheriff's departments. That's a really radical libertarian view that makes a lot of people, like, you know, cringe from ass to elbow. I don't know any more about this than you do. I wonder what he'll have to say about that. Ooh, you really stuck it to me. You know, my response there is, you know, I think what I said is A, I'm reading this, I'm taking a break from work. B, you know, I know as much as you do, but I'll look into it. And then C, I don't remember the last thing I said. I don't even remember. I think that was the basic tenor of my response. But also somebody gave me some good advice today too. Oh, here's, somebody responded, and this individual I love says he's proud Antifa. I'm not going to name his Twitter thingy because I, out of respect, I don't do that to people. He says he liked the reply to my tweet that was slamming me, and he said, I know what the answer is. There are no good cops. If you want to argue otherwise, it's up to you to explain why they think a drunk driving wife beater is a cool cop. So this is just closed-minded thinking. He's also exposing his own hate and vitriol. I welcome a discussion with this individual, but is this individual someone who says they proudly support Antifa and I'm an anti-Marxist and a freedom-loving human being for everybody in the nation? I don't know that we would have a very productive conversation, but I'm still open to it. And no, actually. No. It's not up to me to explain it. It's up to you. If you're alleging this, it's up to you. I'm taking it upon myself to do the research into Officer Abel because I said I would, because I'm actually curious, because even though there's no way I could take time out of my day, any of us could, to research every single act of malfeasance, whether it be a cop, a doctor, a teacher, a whatever, I do want to know about this one. But this individual saying that there are no good cops, I mean, that, I'm sorry, this is, actually, I'm not sorry. This might come off as insulting to you, but that's just not something that an intelligent person says. It's just not. You're making your intention, you're an angry, angry individual, if that's what you're saying. If that's what you're saying, I'm sorry. And especially because you're saying there are no good cops after this person tweeted out a list of people that are allegedly good cops that got fired for being good cops, and then you're saying there's no good cops? Shouldn't you be saying more like, well, there's good cops and we need to make sure that good cops stay and are protected and are allowed to be whistleblowers when something bad happens? Instead, he's saying, no, there's no good cops. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. But I will say there's been a lot of reasonable people. I'm probably going to catch a lot of heat and pushback. But I'll say this, you know, I mean, there are some people who really just don't want a solution. What they want is to burn everything down. What they want is to burn everything down. And it's easy to get caught up in that fervor and in that fury and in that anger. It's easy for so many reasons. It can be easy for any of us on either side. The question is what replaces it? And for those that say something better, I got to be honest. If you're following the likes of Antifa, who don't seem to really actually care about fascism because they act in a fascistic way, what do you think is going to replace it? After the Arab Spring, when there was so much hope for freedom in the Middle East, how many of those countries does freedom reign? I'll wait. I mean, I was just as hopeful, but I'll wait. Anyway, I will look into some of these documents. Obviously, I'm not a judge and a jury, and I will have an update later in the weekend. I wish everybody, regardless of whether or not you agree with me, disdain me, hate me, or whether I feel the same way, a safe weekend. Take care, and remember, you can only go with what you know. Thank you.